Hey, everybody. My name is Todd Bieber. I'm the creative director of UCB Comedy, and this is the UCB Digital Podcast. It's a podcast where we examine the industry of comedy. From pitch to distribution, we're going to examine what it takes to make comedy in today's digital landscape. The topic of this week, how to pitch. And today we are listening to a panel that was recorded on Thursday night's UCB Digital Night, featuring MTV Others' Brennan Kennedy and Morgan Evans. From Above Average, we have Celeste Ballard. And from Comedy Central, we have Corey Stern. I always found that pitching is a bit of a painful situation. I'm never quite sure what to tell people, when to present the proper information, if I'm giving too much information, if I'm giving too little information. So I wanted to talk to the people that hear pitches every single day and have them give them a little insight into what it takes to make a good pitch and also share some horror stories of the worst pitches they've ever heard. So whether you've pitched a million times or whether you've never pitched before, I think this panel is going to give you some good tips on what goes on inside the mind of the people that are listening to your brilliant ideas. This is our second panel. Thank you guys for coming. And we are recording because we are going to make a UCB Digital podcast. Nate Russell and I are going to host it, so this will be part of that. So keep an eye out for that. But this is how to pitch. And so we have some stuff, some people up here to tell you about how to pitch. I am not good at pitching, so this will be, a lot of the questions will just be self-serving. But why don't we go down the line first and just introduce yourselves, tell us who you are and where you work, and we'll start from there.
This way?
Yeah, we'll start.
Okay. Hi, I'm Morgan Evans. I'm a writer and director at MTV.
Cool. I'm Brendan Kennedy. I'm the director of development for MTV Other, which is like a digital comedy place.
I'm Celeste Ballard. I'm the creative director at Above Average, which is the digital arm of Broadway Video.
I'm Corey Stern. I'm senior director of development at Comedy Central, New York.
Cool. And so could you guys start out by telling us like some projects that you guys have worked on, or what exactly, we hear your job titles, but what does that mean? You know, like, if someone gets an email from you guys, or you email one of, if someone emails you, what can they expect, or who are they talking to when they talk to you guys?
For sure. Essentially, I think I would be, like, the first wave of, like, getting ideas from external people. I also generate a lot of ideas just on command. That's like most of my job is like just like an idea rabbit, which is totally fun. I like never run out. But I mostly go out, see comedy shows. I troll the internet constantly looking for like young people that make videos. I go to festivals and I find comedy and ask people to pitch. And then also agents and people pitch me people, and people hit up Morgan and try to pitch stuff, and essentially I just look for stuff that makes sense for our brand at this point. When we first started, it was like just me in a closet, and so they let me do whatever I want for a while, and now it's like kind of like seen by a lot of people, so it's become like a little bit more mainstream MTV style. So I mean, that means like 18 to 25 year old girls, but probably 13 to 16 year old girls.
Is there a project that you've worked on that we might know, like that you've?
It's hard, it's, you know, probably the non-comedy stuff is what you've seen, like 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. And I created a morning show for VH1 and a bunch of web videos and a lot of comedy that you probably haven't seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Celeste?
I'm currently the creative director, so I'm in charge of our in-house creative team. We have a couple of writers and a director on staff, and we're making topical videos and also doing a lot of branded work. Kind of any project that needs a writer or needs revisions, it all comes through us, so it's a lot of different things at once. But prior to this, I was doing development for us, so that was really seeing shows and meeting, doing generals with anyone who wanted to pitch to us, and then organizing our pitch process. And we are also actually a multi-channel network on YouTube, so a lot of our content is from our channel partners. So we work with a lot of sketch groups, many of whom I'm sure you guys are familiar with, and they pitch us series. So my job used to be that I would sit in those pitches and decide what we're making, and I'm still involved with that, but not as intimately anymore.
Cool.
Cool. And then Comedy Central New York, it's a pretty small development team. It's myself and Brooke Posh and Ari Pierce. So we work on all the New York shows. So Broad City, Inside Amy Schumer, you know, to a much lesser involved extent, Daily Show and Colbert and Minority Report coming up will be more involved. And then, yeah, looking for new pitches and vetting those and developing all kinds of stuff, but as well as overseeing what we currently have on the air.
Cool. So let's just ask the most general question, which is the title of this panel, how to pitch. And I think we can go down the round, down the row and talk about it, but you guys can jump in. This also can be a casual conversation. And when I say how to pitch, I mean like literally like how do you get the meeting? How do you, what does it look like when you come in? You know, take me from start to finish, like what that looks like. And then we can get into like, I'd like to later get into like best practices, but maybe just like technically, how does it work?
Right.
You know? Corey, you want to start with that?
Yeah. I would say, I mean, 90% of our pitches probably come through, you know, agents, managers that we have relationships with that say, hey, so-and-so is in town or so-and-so has this idea. A lot of times we know the person already. Sometimes they're someone we don't know at all. A lot of times a pitch comes out of just a general meeting. Like, manager says, hey, you should know so-and-so. You don't know them. We'll have a general discussion. They'll say, oh, I have an idea. I want to come back in a month and pitch. So that's most of them. But sometimes they're people, they're, you know, we do get pitches from people that are not repped, whether it's, you know, someone we see at UCB or a different comedy show, and we'll bring them in for just a general meeting to, with our talent and our development group, and kind of, you know, it's very casual and stuff comes from out of that. So it is harder when you don't have representation to kind of get that avenue, because we get a lot of unsolicited things sent to us that we, you know, legally kind of can't really indulge. But, you know, it's not impossible if you don't have representation, you know. And also there's things like New York TV Festival where we're really involved in, and we get a ton of meetings out of that and pitches. And, you know, the winner that we chose last year, this guy, Ben Saccombe, is now writing on an LA show we have called Big Time in Hollywood, Florida, and he sold a project to us with Mike Lawrence. So there are ways to get, and he was repped at the time, I think, but it all happened at kind of the same time. Like, he won at New York TV Festival, he got signed by Gersh. So yeah, it kind of happened that way.
Cool. What was the project that he brought to NYTVF?
It was called Family Bum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it, but it was really funny. It was basically, you know, kind of in a multicam in like a TGIF style, and he completely nailed the tone and style, except almost like Down and Out in Beverly Hills. It was about a bum that this like step-by-step type family takes into their house. So it was just 15 minutes. It was really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to point out is like, you're developing stuff for television.
Yeah.
Celeste, above average, is internet,
mm-hmm.
web video stuff, but we can talk about this a little bit later, but you're also developing stuff that could possibly go to TV, because
yeah.
you have, what are some examples of that?
Well, one of them is actually Waco Valley, a series from Ben Wehrheit that he produced with Landline TV, who was an above average channel partner. And then they did a 6-episode web series for us, and we brought it to Comedy Central, and they bought it, and
yeah.
that's currently being made a pilot.
Extremely excited about it. So we do buy a lot of projects that start as web series. Obviously, Broad City was web. That was originally developed at FX, and then we got the project from them. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we get pitched that we have another above-average series that we bought from Oren Bremer that's The Morning After. So it happens a lot.
Cool. And you guys are also web as
yeah.
well, right?
So yeah. Internet. And I guess with the possibility of moving towards TV,
mm-hmm.
Our digital wing is not the same as Comedy Central's, or like Comedy Central's is like embedded in their development. So like their stuff is, you know, seen all the time. MTV's TV world is a million departments that all, I don't know, probably don't like each other. They just try to get their stuff, and like they try to win. It's like a huge like Romans competition. There's lions and stuff. I think they just showed a bunch of them yesterday.
Yeah.
For the mid. Is this too much information? And essentially, like, yes, I think my stuff is all internet, and I'm sure my bosses would love if we like sold a show to TV.
Well, it's on the contract too.
Yeah.
Like, there are options in pretty much every like MTV other contract that state, like, if it goes to TV, it would be like this, and like this is how you would get paid for it, and like here's how it would go. So I mean, they're trying to bake it in. And now we do these interstitials, they're called, which are like these short little videos in between what shows?
Oh, yeah, every day on television. Oh, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Every day on TV, this is a new thing. We sort of do this, like, just jokes in between TV shows and commercials.
Yeah.
They're mostly for kids and kids who know the internet. So it's, like, you know, similar to, like, Adult Swim, where they have, like, you know, black text. Ours are very visual after effects-y,
yeah,
like, crazy.
Well,
stuff.
Some of them are, like, 4 in the morning and a little longer. And then, like, Pat Noth and I are doing a show called Music Television. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, branded, mm-hmm, and the brand bought space in TV to plug it, like, to air it and show it. So it's not, like, a TV deal. But it is on television.
So I think what we have here is a spectrum of, like, the different types of people that you might pitch to, from television to web, and you can see that there is an eye for television and developing. I think there's a converging media here, and also, like, it's evolving. But back to, like, how to pitch. Celeste, how would someone come to Above Average?
I feel like for us, it's definitely evolved. We used to hear pitches from pretty much anyone who wanted to pitch to us. We, as we have gotten more popular, are kind of unable to service that large of a crowd anymore. So primarily we focus on our channel partners, but we also, since we're attached to Broadway Video, some of our pitches are from people related to that world, either talent on SNL or writers for SNL, or, you know, it hasn't happened yet, but from Portlandia. I mean, people know that if they have an idea that doesn't fit whatever show they're on, they can come to us. So that's also, like, a huge part of our business, is servicing the company that we're attached to. But for people such as yourself, it's people come to us a variety of ways, definitely agents and managers. But I think we're a little more accessible and oftentimes meet with totally unrepped people. We do a lot of general meetings, and then from that, usually we'll, like, pick people we want to hear ideas from. So it's a little more manageable that way. But we have had people cold email us, and we'll end up hearing our pitch. That happens not that often, but it's not impossible. I think we're pretty accessible since we are a little more smaller scale, I would say, than being attached, you know, to a network or something like that.
Someone found me on Tumblr once. I feel like definitely you can hit me up on the internet whenever you want. It's just at Waywa, W-A-Y-W-A-W, or I can give you my email address after this if you want, or I don't care. I'll take anything. We have, like,
social.
A document. Yeah, for real. We have a document, a pitch document that we sort of, like, auto send out. Like, I can't read anything that instantly comes in. Like, you can't just be like, I have this idea, I have to send you this document. If you're not wrapped, if you're wrapped, they can kind of get around that. But the doc is pretty good. It kind of just protects everybody, so that if we heard an idea just like yours and you see, like, a video that's similar to it come out later, you can't freak out or whatever.
Yeah, I think most places we have that too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. But I'm pretty much awake all the time. and, like, reading stuff constantly for work. So, like, you can either find me in Williamsburg playing pinball, reading someone's pitch, or, like, you can just call me up on the phone, or tweet me or whatever.
Yeah. Cool. I just started following you on Instagram.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'll do it via Instagram.
Okay, cool. Yeah, do that. Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
It's same thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm less on the development side, but I guess I can talk about kind of how I got involved, because, like, now I'm doing a bunch of shows with you guys.
Yeah.
I did my web series. I know a bunch of people have been here. That was, like, a Kickstarter thing, and then MTV saw it, and they brought me in for a meeting, and I pitched them, like, 3 shows, and I pitched them to Brendan, and I could just see his eyes, like, glazing over. Like, one of them was to go meet that monkey who used to co-host the Today Show.
So good.
And so that was, like, way too expensive. And I just, like, off the fly, like, pitched Teacher's Lounge, which is, like, a bunch of teachers in a room, and they ended up wanting to make that. But then kind of, like, you know, what happens then is, like, you know, Kay Riley pitched, like, 2 guys named Josh, and I ended up becoming attached as a director. And then I feel like sometimes you guys get pitches because we cast people,
yep,
and then they're in the shows and they're really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, Fran Gillespie, obviously, is, like, so
best.
Hilarious.
But I've, like, given her, like, script work too after, not
right.
knowing, like, her from writing, but knowing, watching her act.
Yeah.
And just being like, we had this thing about Snooki and JWoww's babies. Can you write it for me, and this is like some money.
Yeah.
And she got really pumped to do that. It did really well. It's like one of her biggest fucking things. It's crazy. It's about like show stuff. So you know.
Yeah, so that's a way in too. Like, and I'm doing my web series for them now, like a second season of it. And I did like a casting call through UCB. And, you know, there's people on that show who are hilarious. And then, like, you know, there's executives and development people there watching people improvise and just, like, be funny and stuff. And then you guys bring them in, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really common thing is you, through the community, hear about people that people are talking about. So I think one of the most basic things you can do is try to become a person people are talking about. But you guys are well on your way to that as being a part of one of these teams, because the most direct route is to make your own videos. I think that is huge and so important for everyone right now, because pretty much anyone can have the access to a camera. It's not too hard to figure out. So really to be writing and creating your own stuff is super, super important. I also think definitely in a team setting, because I think you'll learn how to have an actual job that way, but also to do it for yourself so you have your own specific work. Because it's great to be a part of a team, but if eventually you do want to get hired as yourself, you should put your own writing on tape, or if you are a director, direct as much as you can. I'm sure Morgan can speak a lot more about that later, but I feel like that's the majority of the time we'll hear about someone, look up their work, ask them to come in for a meeting, and then that kind of starts the process.
Yeah, and I feel like probably the people sitting here are super creative and understand how something like lifts from like letters on a screen or page and goes to the internet or TV. But most of our bosses do not, and they have no concept. Like, they need everything spelled out for them. So if they have video, they get like way more pumped about any pitch. So like,
definitely,
I try to bring in video as much as I like humanly can.
So on that note, like across the board, I'd be interested, like, let's say we've made that email, we've contacted you via Tumblr, you've said yes to a meeting.
Yeah.
You're in the meeting now, right? Like, whether you got there from agent or manager, I think that's a different panel, so we won't go into that too much.
Yeah.
But, like, let's say you got in that room. You mentioned video as part of it, but, like, what does... I'm interested to... Corey, what does what does a good pitch look like when someone walks into you?
I mean, mostly, like, even if people have materials prepared, which is not necessary, you don't have to have that, but even if they have tape or if they have, you know, a script already written or even an outline, I don't like to be in a meeting and read. I want to hear it from that person and hear what the idea is, why they like it, why they think it's funny, basically, and have them take me through. And if it's for a TV, you know, I want to hear their pilot story. If it's scripted, I want to hear... you know, just an introduction to the world and characters. I mostly just want to hear it verbally. It's great if someone, a lot of times afterwards, will say, do you have that written up in a document? If they don't, you know, you want to work it up and send it over to us so we can kind of, you know, share it and, like, discuss it more. But, you know, it's not necessary. A lot of people just come in with it all in their head, and that's totally fine. As long as someone has, you know, a lot of times I think people come in and sometimes they have the idea very loosely formed, and they kind of said, well, it could be this way or that way, whatever you like. And it's like, well, I want to know what you think it should be, because that's what, you know, most successful shows, I think, you know, it comes from the creator, not from me. And it's, they have it in their head what it should be. And even if I don't like it, I can suggest something that I think might make it better for us, but I want to hear from them first what they think the show is and how it should be. So I think it's just, you know, my advice would be just be confident, figure out the idea and think it through, and then be confident in what you want. You can be open to suggestion, but try to come in with a, it doesn't have to be written out, just in your head what the show is.
And Celeste?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty similar for web. I think that, like, all around in terms of pitching, you should be really confident in your own idea, but also your own idea should make you laugh, because I think sometimes people get stuck trying to triangulate like what people are, what type of stuff they're buying, like what they think would work, and then what their own desire is. And I think you most squarely want to aim at what your own desire is and why it's funny to you, and try and convey that in the pitch.
I agree completely. I mean, you can tell in certain pitches if someone is trying to, you know, fit that whole peg, they think, whatever the metaphor, they're trying to, like, nail what they think you want them to say versus, like, I personally think this is funny, here's why, and then convince me why it's fun. You know, that's what you're looking for always.
Yeah. Above Average specifically, we do a lot of series for budget reasons that take place in one location, and someone came in to a general meeting and was like, oh, like all your series, it's like one or a group of crazy people in a room reacting to each other. And I was like, yeah, in a very base way, I guess that is how you could put it. Yeah. But I think as a result, I often hear pitches that are like, it's this location and like this type of person. But then what often is missing, like, because they think that's exclusively what we do, is like why that's funny or like how jokes work in that context. So I think another thing about pitching is to like have an idea. I mean, for us, since we're web series, it is more specifically jokes that we want to hear or interactions that are funny, because you want some sense of like the funny thing that happens in an episode, not just, oh, it's this sort of location and then it's funny. And you're like, yeah. Well, how?
And can you, maybe like specifically, Morning After feels like an example of each, there's a game of the series, right? But then there's a game of the episode.
Exactly.
To speak in UCB terms.
Yes, yeah. Totally. So there is, I think, like Thomas Middleditch in the first season has a very specific character game. He's like a huge dickhead. But then there's also a game, like in one episode, he thinks a girl has purposefully left her jewelry. There's a lot of innuendo about a pearl necklace as a result. Mm. But it, there's always a specific relationship game as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think you were specifically, because I like to talk about specifics of that, because I think that it could help people. We were having a conversation. I won't go into specifics of it, because I'd be afraid that it's a you and I had a private conversation about a specific pitch.
Okay.
But let's make up a fictional one.
Sure.
Based on that. But someone had pitched like an idea of like two. I hope this isn't another pitch, but two crazy people work in a shoe store, and then famous people come in.
Yes, that is a pitch I hear all the time. It's like, and then we cast Fred Armisen, and he does his thing. And I'm like, okay. You can't, like, rely on Fred Armisen, because obviously that's, like, a whole production thing of, is he available, does he want to, that you have to figure out down the road. So your idea has to stand on its own, even if Fred Armisen is not going to be in it. I think one of the things we're known for is, like, we can occasionally cast your series super well with, like, some SNL people or other people we have relationships to that in a more direct way, or it's like an easy fit, but it's not something we can always do. So primarily what I want to hear from a pitch is how it works without any specific talent attached. A little bit different when someone comes in and says, I have written it for this person, they have already agreed to do it, which is also, if you can pull that off, is always a good move. I feel like bosses especially are pretty into that.
And how about you guys? Awesome. Yeah, what does a good pitch look like?
Oh, cool. So we are so weird. A lot of our stuff is meant to be stuff that wouldn't necessarily be on television, or not the way that the television people are going about creating a new series. So I'm always looking for a newer idea that's very general, but it should make sense like in a few moments. But basically, we do a lot of 3-episode pilot deals, so I'm usually looking for, like, and I'm trying to get really specific for you guys, you know, like, a paragraph about what something is, and then, like, 3 log lines about, like, the future of the series. If it's, like, creating, and that's, like, a pilot for us, and if, for me, I'd like to know where you think it could actually go. Like, why would you keep watching a web series? Like, the best ones is, like, High Maintenance. It's like something I really love, where you're just like, this could go on forever. I could watch that for a really long time. Broad City was like magic. Everything should be catered to what you do best. So like, you guys are specifically filmmakers, right? I mean, like, so, you know, sometimes I just go straight after stand-up or improv or we do a lot of animation, so like just specific animators and like go after stuff based on their style. So it's like, I know how to make this right, and that's why I want to do it this way. So not necessarily everything we do is, you know, people in one location. Teacher's Lounge kind of worked out that way, because it was one of our early scripted stuff. But
Josh is like everywhere now. Untitled.
Untitled is all over the place. It's on 2 coasts, right?
Yeah.
That's exciting. But we do have series kind of everywhere, including like, you know, like Toronto and Portland and LA and Miami. We have a sick show
so
coming
good.
Out of Miami.
Yeah.
This collective called the Borscht Corp. They're like, I found them at Sundance, like a New Frontier, and then I had, like, they wouldn't talk to me until I hung out with them at South by Southwest. And then, like, I went and hung out at the South by Southwest, and then they pitched me this kid who, he just lives the craziest life in Miami, and they were like, I was like, I can't do docs, that's what I used to do, and like, it's so hard to do short docs, and, then they were like, no, he's the one. It's like reenacted of his messed up life in Miami, and it's like, they just, I knew they could take care of that because their visual style, like, they could nail that. So that's like specific to them. And I think it's what I'm mostly looking for is your ability to understand that MTV is a network for a very specific, like, sect of humans, which is like young adults, like, in a very, you know, like, and a lot of them are really broad, and I think it's our material will probably get more and more broad. And less like, oh, here's like the most fucked up thing you ever saw, which I would love to do forever, but I don't know if that'll ever happen. But it's like, it's children, and so how do you make them laugh? And like, everybody's aging, and it's like, you have to understand, it's like, what's the thing that you wanted to have or see when you were a teenager? Mm-hmm. And it's probably representation. So like, we did Teacher's Lounge, and I feel like a lot of kids were like, where are the fucking kids? And I think that's like, that sucks, because I'm like, these are amazing actors. Like, all this stuff is so good. And they love it, they think it's funny, but they also want to see, like, where are the kids? So I guess now, like, try to pitch us kid shows. The other problem with that is, you know, you can't shoot kids that are under 18, really, without, like, some really intense stuff, because we're still a giant corporation. So think about it, and it's like, you know, 18 looks young. You know, our biggest shows on our network are like Teen Wolf, and there's some new show called Finding Carter, which is about, you know, a girl who finds out her mom's not her real mom. Really kind of messed up, but like, you know, our head of programming is from like Family, ABC Family, and like the WB, CW, whatever.
Lifetime.
Yeah. And like, yeah, she even worked on Martin, which is awesome. But yeah, like, it's teen shows. Like, if you don't know, if you know Pretty Little Liars, like, give us a fake version of that. That might be just what my bosses want. Also, though, surprise me, because I like to go loud. Like, I just want to hear everything. And I'll tell you, like, what they're feeling at the moment. The other side of a youth network is that everything changes. You know, for 6 months, it's about girls. Another 6 months, it's about guys.
Now it's all about drones.
Yeah, it's all about drones. Drones are like...
Hot teen drones.
Yeah,
teen drones.
That is such a good
idea.
Kids
love drones.
Yeah. It changes all the time, and pitches sit on the shelf. Like, I'll remember everything. It's in a catalog, and, like, Morgan's show will get picked up because a brand walks in, and it's like, we need stuff, and I'm like, we want to make this.
Yeah. I can talk to that a little.
Please go.
Pat Noth, who I'm sure a lot of you guys know, is a UCB guy, very, very funny. He came to me and he wanted to pitch to MTV Other, and he wanted to make music videos, and I think he's an absolute genius, and I was like, that'd be great, but like, I didn't think that you guys would necessarily take just regular music videos, because, you know, I don't know if you'd really click on them. So I was like, what if we structured it in a fake TRL show, and we called it Music Television, and we shot it on the TRL stage, and you and I played VJs. And so we pitched that, and he, like, luckily had this great song called My Posse, and we, like, wrote it out and, like, figured out how the video would look, and then wrote the packages, and we came in and we pitched it. And I think you guys really liked it because, like, it had a song, too. Like, our bosses were able to, like, listen to the song and be like, oh, this is super fucking funny.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to stop talking. Like, just, like, listen to the song. Like, you'll get all the jokes really quickly.
And then like, nothing happened to it for, like, 6 months. That long?
Yeah,
a little less,
definitely.
Maybe? It was, like, 6 months. Like, nothing was happening. And Pat would email me, and I'd be like, it's fucking dead, bro. Like, it's gone. And then he went and shot My Posse himself, and it looked great. And it was hilarious, and I was really bummed we didn't do it because it ended up doing well online. And then
it was really good.
Yeah, and then Kraft Foods came.
right? And they wanted to do something for millennials, which are men who are millennials. Then you guys were like, we have these shows, and there was something like Gabrus had pitched, and there were some other things, and then they were like, oh, music television, and then like within a week we were like in production on it. So now music television's happening. Yeah, they want it like now. So that happens a lot, where like people pitch things and then they don't get anything going. And then I feel like, do people ever fuck up their pitches by emailing a bunch and being like, what the hell?
What do you mean?
Like, you guys go, that was great. And then like a little while later, they're emailing and they're like, hey, is my show happening?
Oh, no. So a lot of my job is like, I'm like a A&R type person. I'm like trying to help you. Like, I've been through the system of making a million shows, and then I like just kind of grew up to be like, I want to protect. Serve and protect the police. I'm a cop. I'm an arc.
That's happened, but it's from the manager agent side.
Right.
It's usually
a
representative who's pushing so hard. I'm like, for an answer, I'm like, all right, well, you're pushing it right into the no if you're going to keep. And that has happened before. But, you know, not too often.
Sure, yeah.
No, I think, for me, I'm like, I'm cool.
Has there been a no or a way that someone pushes you to the no? Like some...
No, I think people are generally cool about it. I would agree that it's agent or agents and
it's
managers.
It's less them saying, hey, I want an answer, and more it's like, well, like, just like parameters and like timetables that are not really convenient for us. Or like, well, so-and-so is interested. And sometimes you just say, okay, well, we're not ready to pull the trigger yet, but you know, Godspeed. So that you have to call bluffs sometimes.
Oh my God. Yeah, and sometimes you have to actually let stuff go.
There's so many good things I like, though.
Yeah.
I do have to speak to my posse because Kevin and Tom, is Kevin here? Tom's here. These guys, they're the producers of my posse.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They did such a good job with it. It's so good.
Let's go on that, like, best practices and worst practices then. Like, we talked a little bit about, like, what makes a decent pitch. Talked a little bit about tape, but like, if someone brought you like a web series that did well online, do you want to? I guess two questions. One, do you want to see something like that? Two, do you want to be the first one to see something like that? And then three, if it has been online and has been great or unsuccessful, does that matter to you, Corey?
It doesn't matter if it's. I mean, it's if something has a following and buzz around it, that doesn't hurt. But you know, I don't think we're looking for, we don't care about view counts or anything like that. Like, we're just looking for a good idea and talent. And, you know, I think it's, you know, when someone comes in with a web series, whether it's done well or not, I think we're looking for, you know, how do you think this could be adapted for television? Like, what's your, and it's different. A lot of people, you know, it's not that easy sometimes. A lot of ideas, some ideas are great for short form and they're not really, they don't really translate so well to a 22-minute story every week. But some of them do, you know, and it's like, and we're all, of course, just like anything else, we're looking for that creator to say, you know, and it's okay if they haven't figured it all out, but when they come into pitch, we hope that they've put some thought into, here's the changes that I would make, here's how we would expand. Waco Valley is a perfect example where when Ben Warhite came in and he had the web series, which we loved, but, you know, it was, the stories were very contained and there was, you know, you could project and see how it could be a half hour, but we weren't sure, and he had a very good idea for a pilot story. You know, good idea of how, you know, additional characters, how to expand the town, give a sense of place, and all the things that make for a half-hour show. So the good practice, I'd say, is just to have thoughts on how you translate it to half-hour. Bad practice would be, and it's okay to say, you know, I'm not 100% sure which option is best, but the bad practice would be to just not have thought about it at all.
Yeah,
I think preparation is so key. Like, I can speak a little bit to Ben was in our office like every day prepping his pitch for you guys, and like he put together this whole presentation with what the characters looked like, and he had he basically wrote the whole pilot in kind of prose form. So that was something he worked and reworked, and I think that no matter like how casual a pitch is, I think you should always be the most prepared for it. The other thing, I think a bad practice is, and I think this is just a reflex if you're at all insecure, is to be like, well, this might be a bad idea, but this. I think that's just something everyone should stop doing.
Don't shit on your pitches or your ideas before we even heard them. Like, you know, it's okay if like the idea is not the greatest, or you're like, well, that might not work, but you want to hear people to be confident in what they think. Otherwise, you hope that they wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
You know, execs sometimes do that too. Like, this is a terrible pitch, but what if you did this? Like, well, don't, you know, either say it or don't.
Right. Make a judgment call ahead of time.
How much do you guys, when you're looking at pitches, do you, at above average, Celeste, do you guys look to see, like, can this be developed for television? Are you guys looking at that? Are you looking strictly for web? Or are you...
I'd say we're looking for web first, because we are only on YouTube. That's our player. We don't, like, have our own player at all. So we kind of go by YouTube's metrics, which is, like, a whole world in and of itself. So we don't do anything narrative. Every episode has to stand on its own. Morning After is a perfect example where it worked for both, and that every episode's contained, like, you know, within the first 10 seconds of every episode, exactly what the situation is. It's just him waking up with a different girl and being surprised that she's there. Mm-hmm. So, like, in that 10 seconds, you know exactly what's happening. But that was something where, since it was such a strong character, you could see how it could become a television show. But again, that was Oren preparing a pitch that was so thorough and really, like, rethinking that whole world to have story and development, because otherwise it would just be a guy waking up every episode with a different girl, which doesn't really work on TV.
I think that's the key, is, like, we get a lot of pitches that, you know, people come in with web series that are really good, but, you know, there's just the half-hour idea is not there. And, like, okay, this is really funny, but it's not necessarily just, oh, make a longer version of that, because things do change. Like, the timing of everything, like, how characters relate to one another, like, things that you can kind of, when it's short form, you don't have to really explain or get into, need to be kind of explored when you're dealing with a longer thing, so.
Yeah, but we do plenty of stuff that's just strictly sketch-only, like, Dan Klein and Kelly Hudson did a series called Rejected Pitches, where they play three very Dan and Kelly and Ben Remeka characters hearing pitches that are obviously made into very famous movies, like Steven Spielberg pitches them Jaws, and they're like, they pick it apart. But that is never going to be a TV show. But it's the perfect thing for Above Average, where it's like both something everyone, it's a familiar format, but it's also about movies you love and know really well, so you get every joke. And also it's super funny and crazy. Yeah.
And I assume even if you make something like that, if you brought it to either of you two and said, like, here's something we've made in the past, we have a new idea, you can look to that as...
We do all the time. We have a lot of meetings where it's just a general meeting with someone, like, oh, this person created Rejected Pitches, or whatever it is. We know of it. We love it. We're like, okay, we're not looking to develop this your web series specifically in a half hour, but what else are you working on? You know, so many people are, they've got, once you identify someone as this is the right voice for our channel, then you want to hear what else they are thinking of.
Cool. How about you guys on that same note of
what, bad practices?
Yeah,
for us, 22 minute pilot scripts I don't want to read. I can, but it's really hard for me. I think that, like, if you want to break it up for me or something, but, like, I can never show that to my bosses. Like, at least, like, I don't want to have that as, like, the first window into you. I feel like if you want to be like, I have this idea, it was a 22-page script, I'll give it to you, and I'll be like, okay, I'll read it if I'm interested in the idea. But I need to know how it's going to work, yeah, as a web series. In, like, you know, the 2 to 6 minute range, because that's really where we're working. I hope one day to break out of that and, like, create House of Cards or whatever. But for now, it's like, well, yeah, because that's what people want on the internet. But, like, for now, it's like, maybe we can, like, trick a network into making a feature by, like, doing Untitled 2.
Well, I tricked you guys into making a feature.
Yeah.
The second season of my show is, like, 85 minutes. The pilot's 20, you know? I mean, I built in an act break into every episode that happens at, like, 10 minutes, so I was like, oh, you could just split them into two. But it's essentially a drama. But, you know, they were like, oh, season one's really funny. And then I gave them the scripts, and they're like, these are super funny. And I'm like,
Best practices, give me a 2-page script that's hilarious. First time. Because, I mean, honestly, that, like, if I could show your writing, that's like, here's, like, 2 pages. And be like, this is what an episode looks like. Because we used to develop them for, like, a year, and there'd be a script step, and that is just sad. It's just, like, a waste of time, because you're saying it's, like, not that much money. It's, like, you should just get this going, and it's, like, someone knows you, like, you're crazy great at writing. Like, when we got Morgan's first scripts for Teacher's Lounge, I was like, this dude just knows how to write short. And I was like, that is so important and so great. It's, like, I knew you could do, like, featurey stuff based on Untitled 1, but I was like, there's so many jokes so fast. Just give me a joke, like, first 15 seconds, 10 seconds.
Definitely.
Give me a joke.
And it is a different approach to writing, and a different kind of, not necessarily different skill set, but just different, you know, something that you hone and learn. Like, you know, we get, you know, our digital arm is CC Studios. They're LA based. There's no New York development execs, so Brooke and I will be involved. And, you know, and there's certain series that we have for TV that, you know, we're not ready to go forward with a pilot, so we'll do the web series. Strong Island was one of those examples. And, you know, then there's web series like Idiot Sitter that are becoming TV series. But when we're looking at writing, even if it's a digital pitch, we're looking for, because the goal of CC Studios is to incubate stuff that could be on TV. So it is a completely different paradigm, and
so
it's a different skill.
So you're looking for, with your web series, because you're specifically looking to bring it to television, you're actually trying to develop mini shows.
For the most part, I mean, there's some things that are, that ideas that are more, they're sketchier, they're more contained, and but the goal is to incubate the talent, maybe not the idea, but like get people in the Comedy Central family or on, you know. The good thing about CC Studios is they can make something and put it up so much faster than it would be in the TV development cycle. So talent that's like, you know, newer or more up and coming, that's not necessarily, we're not ready to put them on the air yet, but we like them and want to make something with them. So it's either the idea we want to incubate or the talent themselves. And that's same with director. Like Jeff Tomczyk is a director that we're working with a ton now, and he did Idiot Sitter on the web and also Ari Shaffir's show on the web, which are both coming to TV. And then he also directed a pilot with Nick Turner that we did here in New York, and he's, you know, so he's doing a ton of stuff. So we, it's a good way to get people in our kind of orbit that we want to work with.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, can I, from each of you, we've talked about some general stuff, but is there a particular awesome success story or horror story that would be like, I know we're recording these, so you can't get into too specific, but as something that we could take a little bit of like a lesson from, to say like, holy shit, when this person came in, it blew me away. Or holy shit, when this person came in, I expected this and they have just like half-assed, you know, like, I'd love to hear some very specific, like something that these guys could bring you that like, if 90 of these guys walked in, you'd be like, oh, they set the bar this high now, and now something else is gonna be better than that.
I would say a horror story, and not naming any names, but we met with someone. He, a comedian, TV personality, from another country, and came in, and it just was hostile from the beginning. Just like, assume that we wouldn't like him or his style or whatever, and like assume that we would shit on his ideas, and was just very confrontational from the beginning. So it was extremely uncomfortable, and like some of his ideas and stuff weren't even that bad, but we were so, you know, the meeting ended up ending fine. But it was so off-putting and weird to just assume that we would hate him. It's like, well, why are you here? So I would say that's something to avoid, you know.
So assume the people that are in the room
with
you.
Assume if we're meeting, taking a meeting with you, that we're hoping that we like you and like your ideas, and we're not meeting with you. It's not like we're forced to meet with anybody, so we want to meet the person. So yeah, I would say try to not, don't be like, I think he was, if a person's so afraid of rejection or afraid that they're not going to be like, as a defense mechanism, they're like, I'm going to go in and assume they're going to hate me and then just shit upon them too. So it was weird. So that's a mistake.
So assume that the people want you to succeed. They want you.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
And then success story, I mean, there's people that I met with that I'm excited to meet, but I wasn't expecting them to be as funny in person or have so many interesting ideas. I'm like, wow, this is really surprising. Now I really want to work with this person. Like, you know, I'll read a script and I'll be like, okay, this is all right. I'll meet with the person and be like, okay, he kind of developed that in mind for a different network, and that's why I wasn't loving that script, but I really like him or her and their ideas, and I want to hear more from them. So that's the more surprising good thing.
Cool. Celeste?
I don't know that I have any horror stories, actually. I feel like people are generally cool and casual when they come in to meet with us. Because I think we're actually now one of the few places in New York that kind of funds your short form idea. So I feel like people are just excited to have the opportunity to maybe have a budget, which is, you know, a good thing for everyone. I don't think I have any really horror stories. This is more of a job interview thing, but I did meet with a girl once who just had, like, no passion at all or interests, which was really strange. And I'm sure she does, but she did such a bad job conveying it. And I think that's just in general, you should take meetings like this seriously and know, like, it's kind of like a stage for you to impress whoever you're meeting with. It's not like I mean, you can ask questions and learn about the person you're meeting with for sure, and it's like helpful to ask questions and show an interest and actually get answers that are useful to you. But
that happened to me too. Someone was interviewing to be my assistant, and I was like, so are you interested in like a career in development? They were like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, I'm just lying here.
Totally lied.
To be honest, like, I'm like, do you like television? I'm like, I like it enough. You know, mostly I just want a job. I'm like, I appreciate your honesty, but come on.
Yeah.
Sell yourself. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, you have to sell yourself. I mean, that's more of a job interview thing. But yeah. I think it's similar for, you really want to like, put yourself behind your idea and actually be excited about it. Because here's the other thing. I think sometimes you can figure out what a company is buying and sell them an idea that you have that really works for them. Then you're stuck writing it. And if you don't want to, that sucks. Like, you're going to hate it. And you're just going to be resentful and, like, it's going to be a bad experience. So pitch stuff you actually want to write.
There's been pitches where, luckily, it's never gotten to the point where we bought something and someone's admitted to not wanting to do it. But we've gone through development process, we're about to buy it, and then you know, we kind of suss out that a writer might not be, and it's like, do you actually want to do this? And they're like, and luckily in that situation, the person was like, not really. And I'm like, all right, well, I appreciate your honesty that you're not wasting everybody's time and like turning, because we were ready to probably buy it, but like we were sensing that the person wasn't that in love in the idea, and things kind of, you know, shifted around a bit about who was attached to it, and the person just wasn't that into it anymore. So it was nice to, be able to separate from that.
It's a horror story. I would just say it's a similar thing to like, as soon as someone starts, they hate you. I think it's more like as soon as the first notes come on something. So this is post pitch, but like the first time someone's learning how to deal with notes from a network, it's like, you guys, like these people didn't necessarily like, they didn't come up the same way you did. So they just know who they're impressing, and I will be, or are my other people that work with us, they will be there for you to try to get it going and get you the least heinous notes. Like, we are there for you. We know that notes suck, and we know we want you to make the best thing. And like, we can't, not everyone can have Louis deals, and like, I wish that was like ultimate, and I try to not step in as much as humanly possible, but there is like, it's, you know, you gotta chill out. Like, it's gonna happen, and like, we'll be a good stepping stone to learn how like actually horrendous it'll be in your future, because you'll get like the worst notes. And success story, I would say, like, I found this kid at Slam Dance. He had, like, really serious movie short, and then he pitched me right away. This idea eventually did become a series, but it was, like, totally wrong for us. And he worked with me to, like, figure out how to make it more, like, teen-friendly or more about, like, probably existential crisis is the things I like the best, because my brain. But, like, how to, like, work and then move it up into a place where it's like a character that didn't speak now is fully talking the entire show. And they ended, you know what I mean? Like, just didn't have any lines, and then it became, the entire show was about them, and it's like a monster in Burbank. Guy kind of used to work at Henson, and like, it's totally beautiful. I hope it just goes to film festivals. I don't know if it'll ever become like a thing, but it's like awesome. And what we made is great.
It's funny you mentioned the Louis thing, because we've had comedians, at least two, just verbatim say, like, I want to do, like, what Louis does. And I'm like, great.
All the time.
What kind
stand-ups
of
stand-ups especially.
They're like, I'm like, well, what do you mean exactly? They're like, well, you know how he, like, does a show, but it's, like, about him, and I'm like, yeah, I know what Louis is. They're like, well, I want to do that. We want to do that. I'm like, we're not going to do that. Like, Louis is a special person. You can't just, like, you know. Also,
he worked through his shit. Like, he worked a totally different life.
Yeah.
And, like, he went through, like, a totally different style of comedy. And then he, like, changed it up.
Yeah.
Figured out his thing. Everyone likes it. And then he's, like, slowly going back towards his
Well, he's
old
taken
comedy.
Enough notes for, like, eight lifetimes.
Yeah.
He
he's
did, like, Chris Rock,
shows.
You know, all these
But right, these are comedians. Right. Like, it's not like, right, Chris Rock isn't coming into us and saying, I want to do Louis. That would be a different story. These are people that have not earned to say that. It's like, no, you need to come up with a show.
Maybe the cheaper it is, the less notes you get.
Well, that's, I was gonna kind of speak to that a little. Yeah. Like, I would say, like, it's not necessarily like horror story as much as just kind of like advice, but like, the notes suck sometimes. And like, sometimes I think you have to think of it as work and like, do a bunch of it and like, you know, try to make it as funny as possible. But like, You know, Teacher's Lounge had notes. I'm proud of it still. I think it's still funny. You know, two guys named Josh had a bunch of notes. They incorporated them really well. I think, you know, no one really likes giving notes because they would want it to be perfect anyway. So it's like if you can make that person's life easier by making the show funnier or like whatever and
yeah.
taking it and then
we'll just hang out forever and give you a job every day.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you take notes and like you do that stuff, then like I did all that shit and then like got my own show where you guys noted it less, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but then I'm also working on this other show that's like owned and bought and sold by a company. So it's like throw a logo on that, you know, throw a bunch of logos on that. And that's like heavy notes. So it's like a balance of that type of stuff. I'd just say like, just try to like take that stuff and make it work. I don't know. Like I had a, like a movie in the development and they were like noting it every week. And then one day they came and like they had brought another producer on it and the notes that they gave made it an entirely different movie. And I thought that that was their nice way of saying like, we don't want to make this anymore. But then I like took the notes and sent it back and then it was like still going, you know? So it was like, oh, cause I almost was just like, fuck it. I thought they were like bailing on me. I don't know.
I think you're exactly
yeah.
right about like the person that's giving the notes. Like our goal is to give as little notes as possible. Like it's the great thing when a script comes in, you're like, I have no notes, if that's what you want. And like, I understand like with writers, like it's, notes are not always the most pleasant thing because you like, you believe in it. And by the way, when we give notes, like we want people to fight for why they disagree. Like there's a lot of times where like, I think it should be this way. And they say, no, I don't think so. And here's why. And we'll agree with the writer. We'll say, okay, that makes sense to us. You know, the goal is to give as little notes as possible. And I think like, just, you know, people know that, I know this is about pitching and not notes, but it's like when people, you know, we're not trying to be, to hurt your project at all. We're trying to, like our goal, my goal is to get something as best a chance of getting on the air as possible. And I know, you know, or I hope I know, like things that can help get it on the air.
All development has notes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's their job, the dads, to say, or moms, to say no.
Yes.
And it's our job to be like, please say yes. And it's like, that's what we want. And it's like, we're going to get there. But like, all development is notes. Like, that's like
I will
the
say,
process.
You can sneak it sometimes if you do one note really well. And then you come at them and you go, so I made that change, but like, I really feel strongly about not doing this one. And they're like, oh, okay, compromise, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, yes. I mean, this is probably at a higher level than like making web series. But also, I think you have to definitely take notes with a grain of salt. Because sometimes when people giving notes, just like hearing themselves pitch ideas to you.
And you're surprised. You'd be surprised. They're the same ones every time.
Yeah, exactly. So,
just
so I do think fighting back is definitely in your arsenal. Like, it is a move you can not
do. Totally.
You
like,
to
I
want
to hear someone be like, that your idea is wrong, my idea is right, and here's why. Like, that. Great. Like,
just like without throwing a table.
Right. Like,
don't throw a table at the same time.
Don't yell. But like, if you're like, no, I passionately believe that this character should make this choice instead of that, and here's why, and this is why it's better for the show, it's like, great. I want someone to feel that way.
I feel like, to go back to the pitch, in order to have that in your arsenal, you have to, like, to kind of sum up, and then I want to open up for a couple questions, but, like, it seems like you guys are saying, come in with ideas that you're passionate about and that you believe in and have conviction on, because then when you get the notes, it's not, you're not conforming to something else, you're able to articulate why your idea.
100%. Know your show is basically the
yes.
Like, know your show.
And also,
better
it seems
than
like
anyone
great.
Else.
Yeah.
Know your show,
trademark.
And then and it seems like know your network too, because we have three different channels up here who are looking at creating three different things. So you might be able to bring the same idea to these three places, have the same passion, right? But like, be able to fit it to like. Does it work for 13 to, I don't know, what age 25, girls? 25-year-old girls. Does it work for what demographic?
Mostly male 30s to 40. Like,
30s
to 40-year-olds?
Yeah,
we're really old. We're like late 20s.
And is that who you want to be making stuff for, or is that who the audience is who's found you?
It's kind of confusing because we are this network. Our content comes from so many different voices, and we're so creator-driven. That we have a consistency issue we're trying to solve. And,
YouTube is so crazy.
Yeah, YouTube.
Like, the
YouTube
metrics,
man.
And, like, who watches your stuff actually is crazy. So.
And
yeah.
With Comedy Central, it's 18 to 34 men, but it's really 18 to 24 is like that age group that we're really honing in on, which is super young. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we can't have, it doesn't mean that our stuff has to feature men that are 18 to 24. Like, obviously, Schumer and Broad City resonates with our audience, and they're not 24-year-old dudes. So it's just about alienating that audience, you know. And that's, they're, you know, as long as something is funny and in keeping with the overall Comedy Central tone, and it's not, doesn't veer into like networky, dramedy territory, it's our audience for the most part.
Yeah, I think you just have to do your research and actually, like, if you're pitching MTV Other, watch every MTV Other show.
Yeah.
Get a sampling.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. What, have you ever, like, bought something from a soft pitch or anything? I feel like that might be helpful to people. Like,
what do you mean soft pitch?
Like, if it's a general and it's not supposed to be a pitch meeting.
Oh,
and it's
100%.
Like, so what are you working on? It's like, oh, I got this one idea. It's not even supposed to be a pitch, but you kind of, like, sneak it in.
I would say half of our buys start that way.
Right.
Like, it's like,
yeah,
we're having a general, like the pilot we did with Nick Turner that didn't end up going forward, but I was really happy with it. That came out of a general meeting where it's like, we're just shooting the shit. Like, what are you working on? It's like, well, I have this, like, idea about like two guys and, you know, and singing a song, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting, like, develop that more. So they did and came back and actually pitched it. But like, a lot of it comes from just like what's funny on the top of your head, you know, not necessarily coming in with a fully prepared pitch. It can be both ways.
Cool. Let's we have time for a couple questions. I think I don't know what time it is now because I left my phone over there.
7:31.
Okay, so I don't want to go too long. I'm gonna keep these guys too long, but let's have like two questions and then we'll. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So, just to follow up on that, if you said no your show, but then if you're doing a soft pitch, that's a little tricky, so like, I guess...
I think it's like, if you're coming in to pitch,
mm-hmm,
know your show.
Yeah.
If you're having a general meeting, it's okay to toss out an idea that you think is funny. We're not necessarily going to buy it in the room, but we'll say, you know, go back, think about it, and come back in when you're ready. And sometimes it can be months later. Like, we'll say, we like that idea, come in when you're ready. And it can be a couple weeks later, it can be 2 months later, whatever, and we're like, we're excited to hear it.
And just to quickly define general versus pitch meeting.
Oh, sure, yeah. General meeting is just anything that's really not a pitch. Like, so-and-so comedian or writer, you know, that we've been introduced to or we heard about and want to meet with. Just it's just a casual conversation, like a getting to know, very general meeting. It's very casual. Pitches, we try to make them casual too, but that's where someone's coming in to talk about a specific idea to try to sell you.
And I will, just to speak to that a bit, because like, I will go into general meetings sometimes like with ideas that are fleshed out and written, and like you'll have them too probably. Like, if you do a general or whatever, you might have an idea, but like, you don't want to launch into a 20-minute pitch because that's not what you're there for. So
yeah,
it's like, it's sneaky-ish kind of, but it's just like, hey, nice to meet you, you know, what do you do? And it's like this, but I'm also working on this. And
yeah,
like, you just keep it at a line or two and try to pique their interest.
Yeah.
And see if they even care, or, you know.
And just to follow up on that, like, that's another thing. Even with pitches, like, I think some people fall in the trap of feeling like, well, the person they're pitching to, oh, they don't want to hear anything about me or just make any small talk. I'm just going to get in there and just immediately bombard them with the idea. Like, when we meet people, like, we want to talk to them and get to know them as people, and then, like, we'll eventually get to, like, pitching the show, but, like, we want to, like, get a sense of who they are and, you know, get to just ask general questions, even in a pitch.
Cool. Yeah.
Has it ever happened where someone's pitched you an idea and you've been interested, and it turns out they also pitched it to two of the other different places that are...
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, I hope they do.
I did that to your
pitch. Yeah.
100%.
Is that a frequently that happens? If someone pitches things multiple places, then multiple places are interested in, then how does...
I mean, it's
how,
just...
How do you move forward with them? Do
you
make them your best pitch?
I think it's good to pitch to as many places as you can, you know, and, like, you know, each network is different. Like, we've you know, tried to buy things that, you know, oh, Xbox is going to guarantee them a series, you know, and then, oh, we're not going to guarantee them a series, so even though Xbox might be paying less, they're going to go with the Xbox to get the series, and, like, that's just part of how it works, and we're, like, but you're saying from the person pitching, the perspective of the person that's pitching.
I'm saying, for you guys, like, how often does it happen that you'll come back to hear a pitch, like, we want to go move forward with this, and the person's like, well, I have four people
FX
to sell to me, so now, like, why should I go with you?
It happens.
And then we have to pitch ourselves.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
you try to make your offer better, you know, financially or whatever it is, or you just try, it's the relationship with the talent and manager and why it should be at Comedy Central instead of FX or wherever.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, it's a bidding war.
Yeah. It doesn't have an add-on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think for us, it's mostly like sketch groups I'll really want to work with, but then they go to a place like Maker Machinima, who we cannot compete with them pretty much on any level, because
yeah,
they just do a different thing than we do. But I think if someone like is a genuine comedy fan and likes what Broadway Video does, then it usually works out in our favor. But some people just want like big budgets and brands and
Me. One last question. Does anybody have one great question?
So much pressure.
I have one bad question.
Yes, here one bad question.
One great question.
Yeah.
Great.
How long does a pitch meeting last, and how long does a general meeting last, usually?
Usually we're somewhere around an hour. Sometimes they're shorter.
Like
you know,
an hour?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, that's usually what we like have scheduled, but sometimes they run long. You know, a lot of times they're shorter if like, you know, but it's not like we're watching the clock. It's kind of, the conversation will end organically and then, you know. So yeah, I've had some generals that are, not they're good meetings, but they're just half an hour, like they're just brief. But sometimes we've had meetings that go on for like 2 hours.
All right, I'm gonna get, those will be like the very last question. We'll make it a quick one. It's the way we ended the last panel, but like, in like a sentence, general advice for knowing these guys, they maybe have had some stuff in development at above average, at web series, maybe they pitched before. Some of them are brand new to comedy, they moved to New York not that long ago, but this is a general audience of people who are the next generation of people coming your way. What little piece of advice do you have going down the road pretty quickly that you could, you wish you could tell everyone?
I'd say like don't try to go viral, don't care about like the metrics. Try to make something that you really, really like and care about, and something that you want to put as much effort into it. And if you are like slacking on your own goddamn show, you probably shouldn't be doing that show then, you know? Like, be passionate about what you're doing, and then, you know, try to sell that, and then if no one wants to buy it, then keep making it, because hopefully that's why you started doing it anyway, I guess. Yeah.
Definitely. Sell me you if you can, and if you can't, sell yourself somewhere else. Like, never stop selling.
In addition to know your show, which I think is excellent takeaway advice, know yourself. I think you're all well on your way to that by being a part of a team, but write for yourself. Write what you really want to write, even if it's a script that you end up throwing away or discover 2 years later and then make a web series. Just do the work. And that's how you find out what you're interested in. And then hopefully you naturally will be producing stuff you're passionate about and will find a home that is equally passionate about it.
Cool. I think that's great advice. I think, like, you know, make as much stuff as possible and work on write as many scripts as you can and work on as many shorts as you can. But like you said, just stuff that you think is funny yourself. Like, if you don't think it's really funny, it's probably not going to end up being funny, I feel. Like, I think, like, the best scripts that you read, you get a sense that the person that wrote it thought it's completely hilarious, and that comes through in what you're making. So I think you can get a sense sometimes if someone's trying to make something for someone else or try to craft something that they think, this will work for Comedy Central, but I don't personally like it. Like, that rarely works. So I think, like, just, you know, make as much stuff, keep making stuff and stuff for you. I think that's great advice. And know your show. I'm very proud of that. That
it's really good.
It's good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, guys, for coming in.
UCB Digital Podcast is brought to you by UCB Comedy. Visit the YouTube site, youtube.com/UCB Comedy, for new videos every weekday from New York to Los Angeles. The best videos you'll ever see. Follow us on Twitter at UCB Comedy. On Facebook, at UCB Comedy. On Tumblr, at UCB Comedy. On Instagram, at UCB Comedy.